Good morning. It is such a blessing to be here today, to be with you. We're so grateful for the invitation that you have extended to me to be here to help you to kick off this Vacation Bible School. And we are thrilled to be here. I'm so pleased to have my family with me today, that they could come. I know that Lori is excited to see her twin sister. And I've always accused Lori and Janie of somehow being they're related somehow. I don't know how it is, but they're too much alike. That's why they've got to be related in some way. But we are glad to be here. More Than Conquerors is a wonderful thing. And the idea of creating the mindset, not only in our young people, but also in those of us who are more mature, that the idea of we are conquerors in Christ. Abraham Lincoln once made this statement. He said, "I've been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of those about me seemed insufficient for the day." How many of us have been in that situation in life? How many times have we been in that situation would be the more appropriate question. Because if you've lived very long, you've been there. You've been driven to your knees because you had nowhere else to go. I still remember a prayer prayed by my own grandmother. The day that my grandfather passed away, it had just happened. He died at home. He'd been sick for some time. We were all there. We had gotten there. She left the room, went across the hall to an empty bedroom, and there she prayed three words: "Lord, help me." She was at the only place she knew to be. She had been driven to her knees. She was afraid. She had been married over 60 years to the same man. She didn't know what to do. She was afraid. What do we do when we're placed in that situation? What do we do when we are afraid? Oh, fear is something that has happened all throughout the Bible. All throughout Scripture, we see situations where people find themselves in fear. But Joshua is a man who dealt with his fear. Joshua is a man who sometimes would find himself in situations where some of us would have probably been mortified, and there were people that were mortified when he was in those situations as well. But Joshua wasn't afraid. You know, I think about when Moses sent the 12 spies into Canaan to spy out the land. And y'all remember, they came back, and 10 of them came back, and they was tore all to pieces. "Oh, they're giants in the land. We just look like little grasshoppers. We're bugs in their sight. We can't do this." And y'all remember Joshua and Caleb? "Come on, boys, let's go. Come on." I mean, they were like General Patton. "Let's go, boys. We can take them. Let's go. Come on." They weren't afraid, even though it was the giants against the little fellas. Joshua, when he was called upon to become the leader of the nation of Israel, undoubtedly had some apprehensions. Undoubtedly he was a little bit nervous about the situation. Had some fear. But you know, the thing that amazes me the most about Joshua is the fact that when the Lord spoke to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, and he begins to encourage Joshua, and he begins to tell Joshua something that is so powerful that I want us to focus on it for just a few minutes here this morning. I want to read the first 9 verses of Joshua chapter 1. Listen carefully as God speaks to His servant Joshua. "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land to which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Three times in this one message of encouragement, God tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. God did not intend for Joshua to be afraid. Yet God knew that the possibility was there. Why else would the Lord have told him three times, be strong and courageous? Why else would he have said to him, I will not fail you nor forsake you? He knew Joshua was human. You see, the Lord knew what Joshua was going to face. The Lord knew all of the struggles Joshua was going to face. The Lord knew this is not going to be easy. I'm going to ask them to do some things that don't make sense. I'm going to ask them to march around the city and blow some trumpets, and trust me that I'm going to give them that city. I'm going to ask them to take on armies that are so much larger than they are that they can't even begin to fathom how I'm going to do it. I'm even going to make the sun stand still. And Joshua and the children of Israel aren't going to understand this. So I'm going to encourage them now to be strong and to be courageous. Joshua was repeatedly told to do that because he had to do that in order to be the kind of leader that God wanted him to be. You see, in order to be the kind of person that God wanted Joshua to be as a leader of his people, because in verse 6, he is told, you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers. Joshua, you're the one that's going to be responsible for this. You are going to be the leader. We need leaders that are strong and courageous. Joshua was going to have influence over the children of Israel. A powerful influence over these people. You know, leadership is important. The proverb writer in Proverbs 29 and verse 2 said, when the righteous increase, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, people groan. Have y'all found that to be true in your life? I found it to be true. Leadership is important, isn't it? When we have strong, godly leaders, things are different in our world. We feel better. We're not fearful. When we have individuals who are leading God's people in the right way, the church tends to grow, doesn't it? It tends to prosper because we don't have fear. When the righteous are in authority, people rejoice. When the wicked rule, people groan. What was the result, the ultimate result of Joshua's leadership? The children of Israel prospered. They took the entire land, and they were faithful to God. Now listen to this. All the days of Joshua's life. They were faithful to God. Because Joshua was the right kind of leader. He was strong and he was courageous. Do you realize that every one of us has the potential to be a leader? Every one of us does. Now, I know this congregation has good elders. They're good leaders. I'm not just talking about elderships. I'm talking about leaders in the world. Leaders at work. Leaders at school. Leaders in our communities. All of us have the potential within us to lead for Christ. Paul was about to leave this world. He knew his time was short. And as he wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, he writes to the young Timothy and he says this, "Then you, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me before many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Paul wasn't just talking there about public teaching, even though that's important. Paul's talking about being the right kind of leader, an example in Christ. Every single one of us sitting in this room has the potential to do that. But if we're going to be the kind of leader for Christ that God wants us to be, we're going to have to follow Joshua's example and be strong and courageous. We need leaders. We need mentors in the church. We need teachers in the church. We need elders. We need deacons. We need godly preachers to share the truth, to help us to be what God wants us to be. So we need to be strong and courageous, first of all, like Joshua, in order to be a leader like Joshua. Second point I want to make is we need to be strong and courageous in order to follow God's will. We need to follow God's will. In verse 7, the Lord says specifically, "Be careful to do all according to the law which Moses my servant commanded. You do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go." He wanted to make sure that Joshua knew and understood that in order to be what he needed him to be, he had to follow God closely. He had to follow him. You know, sometimes I don't think we realize the importance of following. There's a story told about a young man by the name of Eric Weihenmayer. Weihenmayer, I think that's how you pronounce it. I don't know why in the world his mama didn't change his last name. That young man had to learn to spell that. Weihenmayer. Anyway, Eric lost his sight when he was 13 years old. He went completely blind at the age of 13. Yet on May 25th, 2001, he reached the summit of Mount Everest. How in the world did a blind man climb Mount Everest? 90% of the climbers who attempt to reach the summit at Mount Everest fail. And since 1953, over 165 have died trying to do it. And yet this blind man succeeded. Do you know why he succeeded? Because he listened very well and followed directions. That's what he did. He listened to a little bell that was tied directly on the back of the climber that was in front of him. And he followed the sound of that bell. Everywhere he went, he followed him so he would know what direction to go. He listened to the voices of his teammates, his climbing mates that were around him, that would give him warnings. Don't go this direction. Don't go that direction. Keep your foot a little to the left. And he would do exactly what he was told to do. He would not deviate from it in any way, shape, form, or fashion. He listened to the sound of his own ice pick as it would jab into the ice. Because he could listen and he could hear if that ice, the way the pick sounded in the ice, he could tell if that ice was safe or not. He listened. And he made it to the summit. You know, can you imagine what would have happened to Eric if he had just decided, you know, I know that bell's going up, sounds like it's going up front, but I think I'm going to veer off here to the left and see what's going to happen. We think that would have been stupid. It would have meant death. Don't move your foot to the right. Why? What's over there? Boom! You know, that's what most of us would want to do. Move a little bit to the left. Okay? He did exactly what he was told. And do you know where he got? To the top of Mount Everest. Is that not what God was telling Joshua? You do exactly what I've told you to do, and I'll get you where you need to be. Yet what do we want to do? We want to do it our way. I know more than anybody else does. I know more about what I need than you know. So I'm going to do it my way. Okay, God says you do it your way. What happened every time man has done it his way instead of following God's way? Every time he's failed. Every single time. You see, when we begin to do that, we begin to creep into that dangerous territory of I'm above the law mentality. Doesn't work. Joshua followed God. And God blessed Joshua. So yes, we need to be strong and courageous so that we'll follow God like Joshua did. And finally, we need to be strong and courageous so that we can know the presence of God. In verse 9, God told Joshua, He said, For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know, God has always desired to be in the midst of His people. He has always wanted that. You look at the Bible. When the children of Israel left Egypt, and they went to Mount Sinai, and there they received and accepted the law. And I'm not getting into the golden calf and all that stuff. We're just going to skip over all that. They finally got to the point where they accepted God for who He was. And the first thing God wanted them to do was build a what? A tabernacle. Why? So He could dwell in their midst. He would be in the midst of His people. And He dwelt right there in the center. And they camped all around that tabernacle for years. God wanted to be in the midst of His people. Jesus came, and where was He? In the midst of His people. The Holy Spirit descended in Acts chapter 2 and dwelt where? In the midst of God's people. God's always wanted to be with His people. He's always wanted to be with us. And it's not God that leaves. It's us that leaves God. You know, God's presence is powerful. Just having the presence of God in our lives is powerful. You think back to Joshua. In Joshua chapter 6. They've come to the city of Jericho. Their armies can't defeat Jericho. They can't breach those walls. Who was with them though? God. God said, you march around the city. On the seventh day, we're going to march around it. several times here, and then when we finish marching around the city, you're going to blow the trumpets. And they marched around that city seven times, and they blew those trumpets. And what did God do? Not Israel. Israel didn't do anything to those walls. What did God do? He brought the walls down. And they went in and defeated the city of Jericho and took it. Wasn't because of anything Israel did. It was because God was with them. And He showed them that He was with them. You know, God demonstrates His presence in our world. We sang that song, "Our God, He is alive." How many of y'all believe that? You better believe it. You better sing that song like you believe it. Because there is a God who takes care of us, and He lives in our presence. We see His presence around us every day. He's there for us. Just like He was for Joshua. No wonder Joshua could conquer his fear and be strong and courageous. Because he knew God. And God was there with him. God was protecting him. God was there. And Joshua felt His presence. You know, one of the first people in this world that ever reached the state of being a billionaire had set a lot of goals. By the age of 23, he was a millionaire. By the age of 50, he was the world's first billionaire. But at the age of 53, he became very ill. As a matter of fact, his entire body became racked with pain. He lost all the hair on his head. Looked kind of like Joe Frank Butler over there. Lost all the hair on his head. He was in constant and complete agony, 24/7. Terrible shape. He got to the point where he looked awful. He was the world's only billionaire, folks. He could buy anything he wanted in this world, but the only thing he could digest was milk and crackers. An associate of his actually wrote and said he could not sleep. He would not smile, and nothing in life meant anything to him. He could have gone to any doctor and went to any and every doctor he could possibly go to, and the best doctors in the world at the time told him, "You've got about 1 year to live." And it was at that point that this billionaire realized, "I can't keep doing this." He claimed that he had a dream. He woke up one morning and he said, "I really can't recall the dream, but I know that it had something to do with the fact that I could not take any of my successes with me when I left this life." He said, "I know that I cannot do that." So what he did was he called his attorneys, all of his accountants, his business managers, and he announced that he was going to channel all of his assets to hospitals, research, and mission work. And on that day, John D. Rockefeller founded his foundation. And that new direction of Mr. Rockefeller's life eventually led to the discovery of penicillin, to cures for current strains of malaria, a cure for tuberculosis, and a cure for diphtheria. The list of discoveries that came from that foundation and that choice that he made is enormous. But perhaps the most amazing part of Mr. Rockefeller's story is it seemed that at the very moment that he changed his life is when he started getting better. This man was supposed to die at the age of 54. You know how long Mr. Rockefeller lived? He lived to be 98. And it was all because he changed his focus. It was no longer about him. When man decides to do like Joshua, and to do like Moses, and to do like Abraham, and to do like David, and to do like Joseph, and stop putting ourselves first and start putting God Almighty first, that's when we will be strong and courageous. And our fear will be gone. That's when it'll happen. My question is this, friends, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of in this life that God can't fix? What do you have in your life that God can't deal with? Nothing. There's not anything in your life that God can't fix. There's not anything in your life that God can't deal with. You say, oh, I got to. You don't know, Tony, you don't know what all I've got in my life. You don't know how much sin I've got in my life. You don't know what I've done in my past. Let me tell you something, friend. I don't care what you've done in your past. And God doesn't either. God says, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Just come and do what I ask you to do, and I will never leave you. That's your choice. God has given us that choice to follow Him, to be like Joshua, and to follow God. If you're not a child of God this morning, we encourage you to come this morning in repentance of your sins, confessing the name of Jesus Christ, and be buried in baptism for the remission of your sins. Have your sins washed away. You know, when they asked Peter what to do, that's what he told them. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There it is, the presence of God coming into your life at that moment. And then you can go out and you can tackle the world. It doesn't mean everything's going to be roses, does it? No. You may one day be like my grandmother and lose her best friend and her mate of 60-something years, or lose a child, or lose a friend, or get that diagnosis. But you'll have somebody there with you. You'll have God. And when nobody else knows the answer, you can go to Him. And He'll wrap His arms around you. And He'll promise, I'm not leaving. I'm with you. I'll get you through it. But you've got to give your life to God for that to happen. If we can help you in any way to make your life what it needs to be, please don't hesitate. Step out and come right now as together we stand.